Chapter 17. Layla was nervous. This was the first time she had gathered the group for the Sufi ceremony of divine remembrance.
7:30 after supper, the directions had said.
Her house.
Come one by one, come alone, come quietly. Enter by the side door.
To stay away from the kitchen and bedroom at the opposite ends of the house where Abdurrahim might be found. She was not really going behind his back with this plan. He was so absorbed in his own work that he spent little time asking what she was doing or thinking about. He would not exactly have disapproved, but he would have found her new venture odd and pointless. In any case, she would have to tell him eventually. There was no point in disturbing him now.
Come in,
said Layla to her first guest. The experience reminded Pricecheck of stories he'd heard from his home country's communist days, of people slipping in twos and threes through the dark woods to attend forbidden Christian meetings. Footnote: God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew. Pricecheck was perhaps the most surprising person Layla had invited to her gathering. He was purely scientific, with no interest in religion of any kind, but she had included him out of a feeling that he might be lonely, with Jenny so busy and Sage often away on mysterious business. Pricecheck noticed that Layla had abandoned her usual black in favor of a long white dress and head covering. By 8 p.m., everyone was there. She had welcomed them graciously and offered them delicious homemade baklava and strong coffee. Don't ask how she managed this post-event. Women have their mysterious ways. Now they were seated in a circle, the room illuminated by candles. The group was an odd assortment. Besides Layla and Pricecheck, the circle included Nuri, Ratbone, a few innocuous townsfolk, and four squid. On a last-minute impulse, Layla had also asked Emma, that baker of delicious cookies who always hung back a little in every group. Ratbone had been invited as the only neighbor Layla knew with a definite interest in religion, though, as with everything else, he viewed it from his own peculiar angle. In their notes about this later, the squid assumed that Ratbone had been included for his color, since the earthers designated him as black, and Layla's zikr was obviously a black thread activity. Halleck and Sage had been a possibility, but as she understood neither his books nor his motivations, she had decided to wait. Maybe later. The four squidly guests had been invited because of their names: Mohammed Schmidt, Muhammad Wang Smith, Obi-Wan Mohammed, and Lal Bey were obviously Muslims and should be included, unless and until they exhibited Wahhabi/Salafi extremist tendencies. Layla was nervous about this. Were there fundamentalist squid? Of course, the whole fundamentalist designation was ridiculous, since many of those so labeled fundamentally violated the religion with every breath. Never mind. It had been necessary to invite these squid. She had been pleased to invite them, and they appeared pleased to be there. They had not partaken of pastry or coffee, and they did not sit, but stood respectfully around the table, appearing to delight in the peaceful atmosphere and the electrical air of expectation. It was time to start. Sheepskins were placed in a circle on the floor like small individual rugs, creamy white, with a single deep blue one where the leader would sit. In the center stood a vase-shaped drum and, on a low table, a burning candle. Layla assumed the leader's position, inviting her guests with a gentle gesture to take their places around the circle.
Welcome,
she said, a little shyly, but with dignity too.
This is something new to you, but very old, practiced for over 1,000 years in many countries. This is the Zikrullah, the ceremony of divine remembrance.
She gave it the simpler pronunciation, easier for speakers of English.
We will sit, then stand, and sing the ancient words as we move in rhythm. Our tradition says that zikr removes the rust from the mirror of the heart. It is holy, sacred. It is from the Muslims, but here in this safe place, it can be for everybody.
Layla stopped, feeling she had said enough, possibly too much. She raised her hands and called the Fatiha, the prayer of opening, translations of which convey so little of what is really there. Then she began to chant, first giving the English meanings in simple words, then inviting her guests to join in repeating the Arabic phrases. A grounding was established. Leaving them to maintain the low-voiced chanting, she moved upwards through a musical scale they did not know. Ratbone thought of the subtle light of dawn and twilight. It sounded like that. Next came a sonorous hum, filling the room like fragrance. A more complex melody was added, mid-range and higher tones bringing texture to the landscape of sound. Suddenly, there was a ringing like crystal in the air, coming from everywhere and nowhere.
"Who's making the harmonics?" Ratbone wondered.
It couldn't be Layla. She was busy with the melody. He looked around. The squid were doing it. Apart from everything else, it appeared that the squid could sing.
"And damn, they can sing," he thought, shaking his head.
There was something of the feel of whale song. Not only from the squid, though, from everyone, and from the air itself. The circle swayed gently, like reeds in a river. The drum came in, a subtle rhythmic beat, a whiff of Africa, almost.
"No," thought Ratbone. "Baghdad and Najaf, Stamboul and Isfahan. Ancient names."
He looked at Layla. Her eyes were closed, her face transformed. Touching the drum, she sang the complex melody line, voice flowing over the rhythm with clarity, a quiet passion. The squid responded, increasing their intensity, and others followed. Something strange was happening, as though some ordinary doors of perception had closed, while unsuspected ones were opening. Emma could not say how long the ceremony lasted, or even exactly what was happening. Swaying, chanting, prayer, music, light and color. At some point, they stood. Sometimes they linked hands. She was not exactly awake, but certainly not dreaming. This was something new. She released the need to understand, riding on the waves of sound, tears flowing down her cheeks, unnoticed. She was not the only one weeping, and over on one side, someone else was laughing hugely. The tears and the laughter were both acceptable and added depth to the music. Pricecheck thought,
"Layla's wrong. This is not new to me at all. I have always known this."
Then, the timeless time was over. An hour? 3 hours? He had no idea. Layla ended with a prayer, first in Arabic, then in English. She thought her guests might like it and that it would be good for them.
"O beloved God, opener of the gates of prosperity, and the gates of happiness, and the gates of mercy, and the gates of utmost compassion and love, and the gates of nourishment, and the gates of pure life, and the gates of security, and the gates of well-being, and the gates of peace. O opener, O revealer, O opener, O God, open for us the best and most sublime of your gates. Ya Fatahu, Ya Fatahu, Ya Fatah. Ya Allah iftalana khair ul-bab."
So it was true then, what they had felt. New and unaccustomed doors were opening within them. Layla, for her part, was glad that nobody in the room had the common American name of Bab. Since the Arabic word for door or gate sounds much like that name, the hypothetical Bab might have been embarrassed. Footnote: from the Weird Sharif Kabir, Greater or Morning Litany, of Pir Nureddin Jarahi, a Sufi saint and the founder of a mystical lineage. Later, the joyful squid went home, their light fed and replenished at last. They were assured that at least the black thread part of their plan for the earthers had succeeded, that seeds of a new, harmonious era had been safely planted and were beginning to grow. The fact that at least one woman in her small group understood how beings should be fed, with light, motion, tone, and rhythm, beautiful in sound and effect, rather than with hunks of physical matter, was vastly encouraging. Only Lal Bey, most junior of those present, stayed behind. During a moment when everyone else was absorbed in the deep bliss of the zikr, he had happened to open his eyes and glance around. He had seen Nuri's orange cat rushing backwards over the hardwood floor. Fascinated, he watched the actions of this other type of alien creature, wondering if he played some part in the ritual. The cat was making strange sounds and stopping periodically, as though depositing some precious substance at certain predetermined intervals. He did not begin leaving deposits until he had reached the large area of colorful material the humans referred to as a carpet. After the zikr, Lal Bey slithered forward and examined what the cat had left behind. Ah. He obtained the necessary materials and wiped up the clear, gluey cat vomit, which would otherwise be coldly unpleasant on the tentacles come morning. And, remembering his manners and the obligatory rituals of his own people, he intoned, "Thank you, honest paper towel. Your life was not in vain. You died in a noble cause." Lal Bey took several days to contemplate his observations of the second alien species, the orange-striped one. Perhaps he had been hasty in assuming the deposits regurgitated by the cat were merely the result of an upset stomach. The creature was too intelligent and subtle to perform an action, especially in the middle of a vital ceremony, that did not have multiple meanings. Thinking deeply, Lal Bey realized that the second meaning was one of rejection, expelling that which was unhealthy and wrong. There was a wrongness somewhere that must be expelled. So far, so good. The wrongness could not be connected with the zikr, which resonated with the deep rightness of the black thread. He must seek elsewhere. He sent out his mind's antennae, subtle inquiring threads like hair-thin filaments of light. There was the village, bent on survival and stabilization. The village was good. There was a cave, strange and unprecedented, full of time and space anomalies, but also good. He must seek further. Scanning, scanning. Ah, there was another cave, and the wrongness emanated from that place and from one being within it. Perhaps at some point, he would need to go there.